Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening.
If you have your Bibles, invite your attention to the Word of God to the book of Psalms. Psalms are the 116th Psalm. I want to read one verse there. Psalms 116 and verse 12. I feel the Lord tonight, don't you? Don't you feel His presence? Amen. Such a wonderful touch of His Spirit here in this place. Praise God. 116 and 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? I just want to use as a subject title tonight, I am a debtor. I am a debtor. Praise God. I feel that way tonight. I really do. Amen. What a privilege it is to be able to walk with God, to know God. Sometimes when you're around this for a long period of time, you have to shake yourself, take a little inventory, and look over your life and say, am I becoming too complacent? Am I becoming gradually, over time, unthankful for all the goodness of God and the blessings of the Lord upon my life? Have I forgotten where He's brought me from or the things that He has blessed me with? Amen. I want to be reminded that I am a debtor. Praise God. I'm not here by my own abilities, but I'm here because of the grace of God. Does anybody feel that way? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's lift up our hands to Him and let's pray for His touch in the remainder of this service. God, we need Your anointing. We need the power of Your Spirit. We need the unction of the Holy Ghost in the remainder of this service today. I'm praying, God, that You would move upon this congregation of people. Touch and stir our hearts and draw us closer and nearer to You. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. David, at the time of this writing, perhaps he is pondering all the goodness and the blessings of the Lord that has been upon his life through the years. Maybe he's just kind of taking inventory and thinking about all of the things that God has afforded him that he did not deserve. The blessings of the Lord that he begins to count in his life and realize that God has been so very good to me. And then he makes this statement, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? In other words, I'm a debtor. I realize that there's a lot of blessings and there's a lot of things that God has given to me in my life living for Him that there's no way that I could merit them. There's no way that I deserve them. But I'm here because God has blessed me and He's been good to me. And he begins to think about that. Early on in David's life, he was always underestimated as a man. As he was growing up, he always had brothers that were bigger, stronger, that seemingly were more talented. If you were just looking at them, they would be the ones that you would choose over this younger David. No one expected him to be king over all of Israel. I don't even think that David himself ever had an idea that this would be his lot in life and this is where God would elevate him to. His father underestimated him. Matter of fact, when Samuel comes to anoint and to come to Jesse's house, for the Lord has spoken to him that out of the sons of Jesse there will be a king, and he comes to anoint a king. He does not even invite, his father does not even invite him, because, again, he does not suppose that he is the man that God is going to choose. And then his own brothers, there's times where we see hints that they excused him as just being the little boy that was just taking care of menial responsibilities and duties. When he came to the battlefield and he heard the challenges of Goliath the giant and wanted to go out and take on this challenge, his brothers discounted it and said, "Who are you? And why would you think you'd be capable of doing such a thing? In fact, you probably ought to be back there tending those few sheep in the wilderness." So they underestimated him. And even Samuel, the prophet, the seer, the man of God, underestimated him. In fact, when he came to Jesse's house to anoint a king, he started with the oldest, Eliab, and he worked his way on down through the ranks. And when he saw and looked on these fellas, he thought that surely, if we're choosing a king, these will be the ones that God will choose, just by their appearance, by their stature, by their physique. And they look like the ones, as far as man's eye could see. But God very quickly spoke to Samuel and said, "Man looks on the outward appearance, but I can look deeper than that. And I'm seeing something here that you cannot see. I see something here that you're not aware of, evidently. I see beyond the exterior, and I'm looking down deep into the heart. And out of this group of men, out of the sons of Jesse, there is one that has a heart after me. There's one that has a desire to serve me and to please me and desires to be obedient to me." God saw something in David that others did not see in him. God saw something in David that he did not even see in himself. And I'm thankful that God looks beyond all of our excuses. I'm thankful that God even looks beyond our handicaps. He looks beyond our fears and our concerns and our worries. He looks beyond even the opinions of what others may have about us. And he looks and he sees the desire of a person's heart. If you've got a desire to live for God, that's something that will, if you keep it cultivated, will help you to be saved. If you got a desire to please the Lord, amen, you need to keep that alive in your life every day that you live. If you got a desire to follow the Word of God and be obedient to Him, that's something that nobody else can give to you. And you need to make sure that it's never allowed to diminish in your life. The Lord's approval was all that really mattered. And I'm going to tell you, that's still true today. More than the applause of men, more than being popular with public opinion, more than being able to rate with certain people, more than being able to climb a status ladder or to go up through the ranks socially, it's important that we have the approval of God. That the hand of God and the favor of God be upon our lives. That's the most important thing that a man can have. To be able to hear him say one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord." That's what I'm looking for. I trust that's what you're looking for. But David knew that he was indebted. By reading the scripture, it's apparent that he was aware that he was indebted to God, first of all. "How can I repay?" is basically the question that is here. And then I see a series of I wills in this Psalm 116. I see through these various verses statements like, I will. And then he tells what his commitment is going to be and what he is consecrating unto the Lord. In verse 9, he said, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. I'm going to tell you that if you walk with God, you'll get to live in the land of the living. In other words, what he's speaking of there is the land of blessing. As we walk with the Lord, as we go where he directs and where he guides us to go, we take him by the hand. It doesn't matter how treacherous this world is and how dangerous it becomes and how dark it is and how confusing things can be in this world. If we'll walk with God and let him lead us, he'll always take us where we need to go. He'll never lead us into places where he can't go with us and help us and be a strong, amen, strength to us in times of need. I'm so thankful for God walking with us. We don't have a God that just commands certain things of us and then leaves it up to us to achieve it. But he said, I'll walk beside you. Is anybody hearing me tonight? I'll be there with you. If there's anything you face that you can't handle, I'll be there with you. If there's anything that you come up against that you can't seem to take care of, I'll be there with you. Amen. If you walk through a place, you don't have to be afraid. I'm there with you. If you're in a situation that you've never been before, you don't have to be concerned, but I'll be there with you. Amen. The Bible gives us an illustration of this in the book of Genesis. A man by the name of Enoch that walked with God, the Bible says. And he had this testimony. The writer of Hebrews tells us that he pleased God. Amen. He didn't just say that he walked with God, but he really did walk with God. He didn't just say that he had a relationship with God, but he really did have a relationship with God. He really was committed. And he followed after the Lord with all of his heart. And he gave himself and dedicated himself unto God. And he had the testimony that he pleased God. Pleased God. And he walked so close to the Lord that the Bible said he was not, for God took him. Amen. He walked right off the edge of the earth and into eternity with God. Amen. I want to have a walk with God where when I reach the end of my days or the rapture takes place, that I've walked close enough with the Lord that I could have that testimony that he did, that he pleased God. Amen. I pleased him in the way I conducted my life. I pleased him in the way that I lived every day. Not just my church persona. Not just when I'm around you or before you, but I want to be a man that pleases God when it's just me and him there. Amen. When I'm all by myself. Amen. I want to be a man that pleases God with my attitude. I want to be a man that pleases God with my spirit. I want to please him with my speech. Amen. I want to please him with my thoughts. I want to please him in the way I treat others. Amen. He had a testimony that he pleased God. Amen. Pleasing God is more than just coming to church. And some can't seem to get that. Praise God. Amen. That's where you're going to learn. Amen. That's where you're going to get what you need. Amen. It seems like there's a lot of folks, and they're going to hear more about this in the future. There's a lot of folks that can have all kinds of excuses of why they can't come to the house of God. Last time I checked, God's still a healer. And if I need healing, I need to come to the house of the Lord. Last time I checked, he's still a prayer answer. If I've got a need, I need to come to the house of the Lord. Amen. Last time I checked, he's still a comforter. And if I need comfort, I need to come to the house of the Lord. Well, that's all right. You can clap. You can nod your head. Amen. But if you're not going to say amen, at least look amen tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's important that we please God. We please God by walking with him and living for him and serving him every day. Amen. He said, I am indebted to him. He said, I will walk with the Lord in the land of the living. And then in verse 13, he said, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. And there's so many parallels there. But let me just say that to come to God, you got to be willing to drink of the cup of salvation. Hallelujah. You got to be willing to partake and be obedient to the word of the Lord. And some people are too prideful to drink of the cup of salvation. They're too ashamed to drink of the cup of salvation. They're too bound by tradition to drink of the cup of salvation. But you must humble yourself to drink of the cup of salvation and take on the name of Jesus Christ. Because my Bible says, neither is there salvation, Acts 4 and 12, and any other. Because there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, but the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There's power in that name to remit sin. There's power in that name to cleanse us and wash us and make us whole. There's power to heal. There's power to deliver. I don't believe when you take on the name, you got to continue on in sin. I believe it. The bondage of sin and the cords of sin, whatever it is that has hold on you, is severed when you can take on the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody worship the Lord with me right now. Oh, that's pitiful, really. We ought to worship the Lord. Amen. If you're thankful for the name of Jesus, you ought to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 14, I will pay my vows. I will pay my vows. I'm not just going to say what my commitments will be, but I'll follow through. Amen. This is how I'm going to render to God. This is how I'm going to give back to Him. I'm a debtor. This is how I am going. I can never repay Him completely. But if I'm not going to be in debt, there are some things that I'm going to have to do. Hallelujah. If I'm going to be able to stand before God, it's going to be more than just me saying when I'm in a tight place, I'll live for you if you'll change this circumstance or that situation. I'll turn my life around. I dedicate myself to you. I'll live for you if you'll allow this to happen or thus and so to take place. And God does it in His mercy. And sometimes people are so slow to follow through and pay those vows that they committed to God. I'm going to tell you, God is a merciful God and He's a gracious God. But the Bible tells me that there is coming a day of judgment that none of us is going to escape. And we're going to stand before God and give an account of our lives. And every idle word that we have spoken, every vow that we have made is going to come up. And if you've ever told the Lord, I'm going to submit my life to you. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to live consecrated. I'm going to serve you. Amen. You need to follow through. Don't just say, I'm going to do that. But follow through and make up your mind. I'm going to do what God has asked me to do. I'm going to please Him. I'm going to live for Him. Hallelujah. I'll pay my vows unto God. And then in verse 17, he said, I will offer to thee sacrifices of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. I'll offer to thee sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we know David to be a praiser. We know David to be a worshiper. But when you consider how in debt we are to God and how good God has been, he said, when I think about the goodness of the Lord and what I could render unto God, the very least that I could do is to put my hands together when it's time to praise Him. The very least that I could do is raise them from time to time and lift up my voice and thank Him. The very least that I could do is when it's time to sing and rejoice, to sing the songs unto the Lord. Somebody said, I'm not a good singer. That's not important. Your voice is beautiful to God. And as you begin to sing to the Lord and give Him praise, hallelujah, and begin to lift Him up. I looked at a little girl last night. I was preaching a service down in Houston area. And I looked at a little girl last night that was in that service. And she was clapping with all of her might. And I looked at her, and she was in a pew there with several other girls about her age. And I looked, and I don't know exactly what the condition is. She is the pastor's granddaughter, but she just has a few places where her hair grows on her entire head, just a few little sprigs of hair here and there. And they were uncut, and she was worshiping God and singing the songs. And I thought to myself, a burden came over me. Something gripped my heart. I was praying about it on the way home. I was thinking about these things, and I was praying about, God, is this a burden you're placing on my heart for this little girl to pray for her regularly, that you would heal and do a work of healing, and I'll do that. Amen. Or if it's just empathy that I'm feeling for her, whatever it is. But I'm so happy to be able to be moved by these type of things. I don't want to be hardened. But all I could think about is this little girl is worshiping God with all of her might, with all of her strength. And she is not as healthy, obviously, as the others that are there. But she says, God, I'm still thankful. I'm still, come on now, folks. Amen. We got a debt to pay. God's been good to us. Amen. Everything may not be rosy. Everything may not be perfect in your life. But I'm telling you, we still got a reason to rejoice and to give praise and to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm a debtor tonight, so I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to offer sacrifice. I will offer sacrifices of thanksgiving unto God. Amen. When I consider all He's done for me, when I think about the blood, when I think about His mercy that reached to me while I was yet a sinner, the Bible said, and He called me out of darkness into this marvelous light. I need to show forth the praise. I need to show forth thanksgiving. Amen. I'm thankful for the grace of God that has kept me 38 years with the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost when I was 7 years old, and I'm still here today because of the keeping grace of God. Amen. I'm thankful for His blessings. I'm thankful for His protection. I'm thankful for His healing power. Anybody ever been healed? Anybody, has He ever touched you in body? I'm thankful for His provisions in my life. I am drinking from a well of salvation that I don't deserve. Amen. I'm living in a house, amen, that He blessed me with. I'm driving automobiles that He blessed me with. I'm suited in clothes tonight that He gave me. I'm a debtor to the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? Amen. Let's love Him again. Let's give praise to Him again. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. When I consider the goodness of God, there's no great consecrations or sacrifices, or it's not a big deal to be faithful to Him. It's not too much to commit my life to Him. I'm just thankful for the opportunity. Amen. I'm not complaining. I'm not down about anything. Has everything been perfect in your life, Pastor Calhoun? Some people say, well, if everything went in my life as good as, you don't know. You have no idea. You don't see behind the scenes. You don't know all the hurt and the pain that others have. You don't know all the things, but I've learned a long time ago that instead of grumbling about it and complaining about it and walking around with a sour face all the time, paste a smile on if you have to and get your hands in the air, because there's much more to be thankful for than there is to complain about. Hallelujah. I said there's much more to rejoice about than there is to be down to. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in this house. I feel the touch of God in this place tonight. Hallelujah. 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 I'm a debtor. I said I'm a debtor. Amen. God has been good to me. Why don't you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. Let's give praise to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm a debtor not only to Him, but I'm a debtor to the church that He placed me in. I want to talk about the body of Christ, first of all. I'm a debtor to be in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God, to be in this great kingdom and be included out of all the people of this world that He's reached for and saved some way or another. I had a chance to come. I have not chosen Him. He has chosen me. And He's redeemed me. And I'm so thankful for it. But it's at the church that I had the truth preached to me. I thank God for every man of God that's influenced my life. Amen. You know, men of God are just men, first of all. But it's the call and the anointing that is placed upon them that makes it special. And sometimes we get to looking at the humanity and we forget that God uses humanity to speak to us and to help us to be saved. And if you look through that Bible, you'll find there was men of God that were used mightily, that they still walked in feet of clay. The personalities and things didn't rub everybody the right way all the time. I thank God for every man of God that He's placed in my life. I thank God often for every Sunday school teacher. In the church that I came in contact with, there was people that knew how to pray and knew how to touch God, just like in this church. I thank God for every prayer warrior that ever prayed for me. I thank God. When I was just a little boy, I remember the lady that lived next to us went to our church. And I one time went over there, and it was in the evening time. She was still up. She was bent down and she was praying at her place in her living room. And I remember the impact, just a little boy, how much that stirred my heart to see her praying and seeking God in her home. Nobody was there besides just her in the presence of God. But she was still touching heaven. Thankful for encouragers. It's encouraged me when I felt like quitting or giving up. Come along beside me and encourage me. I'm thankful for the church. People that mourn losses with us and people that celebrate victories with us. I'm thankful for the church. We ought to be awful careful and ought to guard our lips about speaking anything critical, speaking anything in complaint about the church. I don't want children to hear me saying anything negative about the church or the people of God here, because I don't want them to think ill about the church, because the church is the gate of heaven. They're going to have to come through the church to be able to make heaven. You got to be in the church to be able to make heaven. The church is predestined. We're not, but the church is. And if we're in the church, we can be saved. Praise the Lord. I thank God. I thank God. And I'm privileged to pastor this local assembly. I'm indebted. I'm indebted to the Lord for that, and I'm indebted to this great body of people for that. I don't take that lightly. I don't take the responsibility of it lightly. I realize how in debt I am for that responsibility. I've often told my children, my wife, everything that we have, everything that God has blessed us with, it was because there's faithful saints of God that pay their tithe, give their offerings, and have been a blessing to the work of the Lord. And we're able to work here for God because of that. I'm thankful for that. Thankful for that. I remember a story that Brother Glass told about how that it came time for conference and the church there was going to lift an offering. He pastored down in DeRidder, Louisiana. And the church was going to lift an offering to send him to conference. And he knew that there was one lady, her husband didn't live for God and he didn't give her much. She didn't have a job besides just what little things she could take in here or there. And she made a pretty sizable pledge to give in that offering. He went to her after church and he said, I want to release you from that pledge. I know that's a hefty responsibility for somebody like you. And I appreciate, and I know God's going to bless you for your willingness, but I want to release you from that. She said, oh no, Brother Glass, I'm not going to do that. And she took on ironing or whatever she could. And she said, I have a little stuck back besides what I'm going to earn that I was going to buy some new shoes with, but I felt like the Lord really nudged me. And this was not in a day when a woman like that had a closet full of shoes. She didn't have many. She was going to buy some because she needed shoes. And so the offering time came, she gave. He said he got to the conference. And he said he went to the services. And there was one day that some friends said, hey, Brother Glass, we're going to go see some sites around town. We're going to take this afternoon service off and go see those sites. And he said, I agreed to join them. And he said, as I was going to meet them in the lobby, I was coming out on the high rise there or the floor above, and I was going to ride the escalator down to where these men were. He said, I could see them waving at me, telling me to hurry up. He said, and suddenly I looked down at the foot of that escalator, and he said, I just got an image of that woman standing there from my church that had gave her money. And she was standing there barefooted looking up at me. And he said, something gripped my heart. And he said, I told him I can't go. I got to go to church. I'm going to the house of God. Good people sent me here to go to church. They sacrificed. And for me to be honorable, I can't do that. For me to be right, I can't do that. So it's nothing wrong with you going, but I can't do that. Wouldn't be nothing wrong with you doing that, but I just can't. My conscience won't allow me to do it. Amen. I was stirred when he told that story. I was looking in the Word of the Lord in 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 17. David is talking to the Lord about judgment that has came. And David spake to the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people. David had made some errors. He had made some mistakes in numbering the people, and God was punishing him for it. And he saw the angel that smote the people, and he said, lo, I have sinned, God. I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. This was the true heart of a shepherd. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arnon the Jebusite. Verse 24, and the king said unto Arnon, nay, but I will surely buy it. Arnon said, you just take it. You're the king. He said, but I'll surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. David said, no, if I'm going to give something to God, I realize I gotta have some investment here. I can't just be a taker. I got to be willing to give back. Hallelujah. What can I render unto the Lord for His goodness towards me? I wonder if there's anybody like together in this altar. It's yet early. I wonder if there's anybody that feels the tug of the Holy Ghost. I wanted to talk about more things, but I I feel to open these altars here. I wonder if there's anybody that senses the presence of the Lord, the touch of God, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, come on, let's reach out to the Lord. Let's seek the face of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm a debtor. Hallelujah. I owe so much to you, Savior, for all that you've done for me. Thank you for every prayer that you've answered. How could we come and go, and how could we just be absorbers of the blessings of God and never give back thanks and give back praise and tell Him how much we appreciate Him and His goodness in our lives. We consider how good He's been to us. We realize that what He expects of us is really nothing in comparison. Nothing in comparison. You've been so good to me, Father. You blessed me more than what I deserve. Hallelujah. Let the presence of the Lord sweep over your soul today. Let the touch of God sweep over your heart here this evening. Jesus, I need you, Lord. I need your help and your blessing and your touch.